President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
You're listening to the most biologically, scientifically, technologically, archaeologically, musically, and universally advanced radio show on the planet, and it's so nice to have you here with me and my boss, Don Nikoloff, on Evident Footprints.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the show. That's a new sidekick I brought on the show. He's a time traveler. And we haven't given him a name yet. Maybe we can have the listening audience suggest some names for this gentleman. And you'll hear from him from time to time. Welcome to Evident Footprints on August the 11th, 2008. It's a crazy world out there. What do we say? We have this diversion called the Summer Olympics, the Summer Games going on in Beijing, China, as well as Hong Kong, where they are conducting the equestrian events due to the fact that the participants don't feel very comfortable taking their horses into Beijing because of threats of the bird flu. And we have a war going on in the former Soviet Republic of Georgia, and we have just a potpourri of events going on throughout the world. And while all this is going on, George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush, the 43rd president of the United States, is over there having a great time. And even Henry Kissinger made an appearance yesterday for the cameras, and they were sure to get them on. They've turned this into a political event, although politics is supposed to have nothing to do with it. And I find it interesting that they're talking about the encroachment of human rights in China as if we're still free here in America. And we're going to talk about that with tonight's guest. In terms of my journalistic career, he is my boss. He is my publisher, my editor. And that's the only capacity through which he can push me around and tell me what to do. And he's also a good friend. And his name is Don Harkins, and he is the publisher, editor of the Idaho Observer. We welcome him to the show. Don, welcome to Evidence.
Well, good evening, Don, and thank you very much. And I don't think I really abuse my editorial capacity and my my authority over you in a very horrible fashion at all. I think that we've worked together pretty well, and I'm not really sure who pushes who around in this arrangement, actually.
No, well, you know I'm just kidding.
Who's leading who? What's leading what? I think we're actually, no, I appreciate the humor, of course, but it's funny how we're both individuals, and I think that's kind of a rare thing in the world today that people are led around by their truth, and they do so fearlessly, and they let things fall where they may. And that's a really important capacity, and whether it doesn't matter whether you're a journalist or you're somebody in business or you're just somebody out there mixing it up in the real world today, if you have that capacity, it's a virtue, and I don't mean to be tooting my own horn, but if more people were out in search of the truth, the world would not be in the shape that it's in today.
Well, that's correct. And, you know, we've talked about the issue of responsibility before, and it may come up again tonight. The mass of humanity is definitely in a state of denial as to what's going on in the world. I'm sure you'd agree. And that part of that's attributed to the education that we've had here in America over the last 50 or 60 years. And in particular, in the last 10 to 20 years, it's really been ramped up. This Patriot movement that's taking place right now is definitely something that they didn't plan for. And so they're getting rather nervous, and they're ramping up the activities. And quite, as you know, off the air, quite a bit is becoming revealed to me as to who's behind this whole thing in reality and what some of the things are that are planned for us, besides what's been published. It's interesting to see that these things are in place, and they are beginning to target the truth seekers and the truth messengers. And I wanted you to add maybe a little bit of opinion about that, if you would, before we go into the topics that you want to talk about tonight.
Well, it's interesting, actually, throughout history. I don't find that there's very much new in a macrocosmic sense happening in America today than what happened in Rome when it fell, or actually even when it was in its heyday and its glory. And in all of recorded history, the masses, the great unwashed, the ordinary folks that make up a community or make up a society or make up a civilization are really fundamentally the same. They have fundamentally the same place and role in politics and policy, and they are used over and over again as cannon fodder or as bludgeon fodder, depending on which, or as nano fodder, I suppose, depending on which century that you're fighting in. And we do, throughout time, we've occupied much the same niche. And I don't really see that we're all that different now in the way we've responded to everything as every other civilization before us. And that's probably the greatest lesson that we can all learn from this, is that the common man has been used in this fashion, either as cannon fodder or as bludgeon fodder, or as just mere commodities to be traded and exploited since people began organizing into political units, you know, thousands of years ago. And the greatest challenge of our time, and indeed the greatest challenge of all time, is for the common man to behave in a manner worthy of the dignity that he believes, as he's been told and conditioned to think, he has a right to. And that's where we're at this time. It's no different. The fall's coming. The final cards are being played in this particular era, and it's going to determine how dignified we are as to how much misery we're about to be experiencing.
Yeah, well said. I don't know that I could add anything to that. If I can, it'll come out sometime during this show.
Sure.
I'm sure. Well, the last time you were on the show, last week, I brought you on for the first half hour, 40 minutes or so, when I had Tom James from Hemp USA on. And he was kind enough to loan you a bit of time. I think it was on the 5th, in fact, because we were looking at this issue of the Olympics and this scare that has come out. And by the way, I want to thank you. I did get my copy of The Observer today, just arrived today. And I also got the DVDs of Truot's message. And this stuff is compelling. This is... much of it is in line with the things that we've been hearing,
sure,
but there's a lot of really interesting, specific information. He honed in on this and focused on, from a medical perspective, what's going on as someone, you know, in the medical community. And
well, he did a magnificent job. That's why it was so believable to Ingrid and I when he showed up that Saturday or that Friday in advance of us going to print with the July edition of the Outer Observer. He said, boy, have I got a scoop for you. And the scenario he laid out was so in keeping with the things we already knew. He was just, like much like the work that you do, from all these disparate facets and angles of the universe, brought a bunch of material together, brought it into focus, and I'll be darned if wasn't revealed perhaps the most hideous, imminent agendas of all time. And it does, since we did speak last, the way the world has been unfolding since that time, it really does appear that his intuition is correct.
I agree. In fact, I had this overwhelming, compelling feeling that the information he was bringing forth either aligned with much of the research, some of which I've shared with you. The listening audience will read about this in your next issue of The Observer, in this month's issue. The the facts that I've uncovered in just the past few days are just so much in line with all this information he brought out. But now we know who's doing it, and we know how it's doing it, how it's being done, in other words.
Sure.
And so I'm anxious for that information to get out, because it's going to paint a very bleak picture for those that are doing this.
Well, that is the other aspect of this that I find rather interesting. And when I say interesting, we're having this radio show, and it was my wife's 50th birthday today. We had a marvelous, just 40 people over at our place yesterday, and it was just a marvelous time. But it feels a little bit like we're dancing on the edge of the apocalypse here. And what is going to happen next? Everything is really in play at this time. The high-stakes realities are really coming into focus, and what is going to happen next. And if you put into a little picture here, all of the different things that we've been experiencing over the last, let's say, 15, 20 years, what with encroaching tyranny, the biochemical assault on our bodies, the economic system on the verge of collapsing, and just all the different ways that we're being pressured and moved in a certain direction, it's obvious that in order to really nail us, to cage our human dignity, and to make sure that when all the marbles gambits are played out, that people will fall into place as they should, they've been doing all of these things. That's how frightened they are of the spontaneity of the human spirit, and the squirmy nature of the human spirit and the common man. And so how all of this is going to end up is anybody's guess. The technology that they have apparently infused into the vaccines that they're likely to be delivering to, or they plan on delivering to hundreds of millions of people, is pretty untested as well. So they're throwing an awful lot into this, and I call it for all the marbles, the entire paradigm that we're dealing with here that's coming to a head. This is a for all the marbles gambit. Everything that we've been discussing and studying and anticipating happening is coming to fruition now, and it's a crapshoot for them too, whether they're going to succeed or not. And I really have a firm belief that if we're so deserving, that we're going to turn this thing around, and it's going to fall flat on their face, and we're going to expose these people, and I use that term loosely, for what they are, and the world is going to benefit accordingly.
Yes, I'm inclined to agree with you. I would describe myself as the eternal optimist, and I have set my intention, and I've let my listening audience know that not only have I done that with them, but with everyone else in this country, whether they're awake or asleep or in somewhere in between, you know, rubbing the eyes, sort of getting the sleep out of there. There are people who are awakening to what's going on, and they're experiencing on some level some aspect of a decaying financial community, problems with their food, their water, problems with their schools, problems with the price of oil and gasoline, problems with health issues. Everything seems to be caving in. Now, rather than panic, and I've been suggesting that we put ourselves above that, we recognize what's going on and contemplate on the fact that this can be a blessing in disguise for us. We're not used to having everything fall apart in this manner. And there's this threat of martial law. I mean, this is being talked about more frequently, that their plan is to institute martial law. On what pretext, I would ask? Is it to protect us from George W. Bush or Dick Cheney? Or is Bin Laden risen from the dead again? You know, so there's just so much illusion out there. And I think we owe it to ourselves to finally face it and rise above it. And I know you agree in that.
I remember distinctly in about 2002, as fall of 2002. Well, prior to that, there was the anthrax mail scare. And then there was, in fall of 2002, it became obvious that the part of the war on terror was pandemic preparedness, that there's going to be a release of smallpox or anthrax or this thing or that thing, and that everybody's going to get sick. And the states were encouraged to develop their model state emergency health plans, and those were coordinated through a federal model. And all these resources went into pandemic preparedness and medical martial law being declared due to a national emergency from some pathogen unleashed on the public, undoubtedly from terrorists. And just the amount of scare and hype and energy that went into practicing this stuff. I'm sure most of our listeners recall in the newspapers, and maybe even some of them themselves, participated in live exercises that have been staged all over the country for the last several years. They've been in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, Post Falls, Idaho, even Sandpoint, Idaho. There have been pandemic preparedness things, and you know the public is encouraged to come out and participate and be victims and stuff. And so this tremendous machinery has been evolving around this concept of a global pandemic coming home to your community. And we realized at that time, by about the fall of 2002, oh my God, it never occurred to me that the demise of this country was going to come from a state of emergency declared because of a pandemic illness and that it's going to be medical martial law. I mean, it just blew us away that this is the perverse manner in which it was all going to turn about. And it didn't quite happen. The smallpox scare didn't work very well because they started delivering this horrible experimental vaccine, and the first responders who were getting the first wave of doses were getting very ill, and three people died from it, and so that fell flat. So they've had to kind of backtrack. They tried the SARS thing. That didn't really work very well. And bird flu has been kind of nipping at the edges of our conscience all this time. And now suddenly, here we are. And it's all coming together. I can't describe this as anything other than a perfect storm for a global pandemic. And here it is. It's here, folks.
Yeah, well, there's some things that we can do to protect ourselves, and as shows go on in the very near future, I'm going to have some people on Evident Footprints who are going to offer some solutions. There are some things that we can do to protect ourselves from this, whether or not they do this. Now, am I going to get a vaccine? Hell no. There's no way in hell I'm getting a vaccine, and I doubt if you are either.
There's no way. And actually, for the listeners, aggrandizement here, the vaccine has been tested in people. There's at least one test of 350 Polish homeless people, eight of whom died from it. The many others experienced adverse reactions. This vaccine has not been tested in animals. Not only that, it's not commercially available. If you went to your doctor and said, I'm a lemming, I'm frightened to death of bird flu or whatever, can I please have a vaccine? He's going to say, I'm sorry, that vaccine is not available. It's sold only to government. It was produced under direction of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and other governments throughout the world. All of them, I think, pretty much subsidized by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And there is no real information on what this vaccine is, how it was developed, and what all is in it. Although we are pretty certain, based on their own words, that no longer are they culturing the influenza virus in chicken eggs, which is how they've been doing it, which is a really disgusting process in its own right, but they're now culturing them in human kidney tissue. There's some debate as to whether there's like one Chinese kidney per dose or whether it's a continuous kidney cell line that has been bioengineered and is just self-replicating. So there's a lot of mystery about this vaccine itself. It's absolutely experimental, and anyone that takes it is a guinea pig or a moron.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on your perspective.
Yes. Now, I, if I may stroke your ego a little bit, I thought you did an excellent show on the 5th here in the short time allotted. You did a very complete presentation, And I got to hear your interview on the Road Warrior Radio with Chris Hinckley, who was on my show and is going to be on my show again real soon.
Chris is a good guy. He was out here yesterday for Hinckley's birthday with his lovely wife and their three kids. They got three boys that are just marvelous. We have 5 acres here of woods, and they did the Tom Sawyer thing, and it was really enjoyable.
Yeah.
So the CDC hosted this thing, and they had then said that a global flu pandemic, it's not a matter of if, but when. So since 1998, there have been marked attempts to alert the medical community that such a thing was inevitable. They should get ready. Their professionalism is going to be required. Their obedience to authority when they need to, for the public's good, rescue everybody, vaccinate everybody, start burying all the bodies, and all the logistics involved in such a major disaster are triggered and put into motion. So it's not a new concept. This has been definitely in the planning. And what we see now is that about a year before that, the CDC types had located a couple of examples of the world's most lethal influenza virus, the incorrectly labeled Spanish flu of 1918, which mm-hmm. killed an estimated of anywhere from, it depends on which report you read, I think I've read is few, if you want to use that term, is 4 million, as many as 100 million people. About 500,000 Americans died from 1918, 1919, and 1920, while this thing was playing out. And it was actually a viral infection that began with a vaccine that was delivered to soldiers at Fort Riley, Kansas, who were shortly thereafter jammed onto a ship, sent to Spain, and then subjected to mustard gas and the other toxins they were going to be exposed to in the trenches and European theater of World War One, and then deployed. And so these were very sick, stressed guys that were given a vaccine, made very, very sick, stressed some more, and then sent onto the battlefield where this virus was then able to really kick. And it was it was a bioengineered virus at the time, up to the standards and capabilities they had then, and it was very lethal. In fact, it was most lethal in the healthiest people, ages, say, 15 to 35. And that's anomalous in the epidemiological world, because ordinarily it's small children and elderly people who are most vulnerable to fatal responses to infectious diseases such as influenza. And so this ends up being a rather perfect bioweapon. Well, it, you know, faded away, and they then found it again in 1997, and 5 years later, with a supercomputer, they had remapped the genome and have been playing with it ever since. Now, the 2008 Olympics were awarded to Beijing in August of 2000. And at that time, I remember there was concern about the air quality in Beijing, and that a team of Chinese architects and engineers quickly got together and presented to the International Olympic Committee a scenario whereby they could green up Beijing. They would scrub some smokestacks, and they'd wipe out a whole bunch, you know, massive blocks of ground and plant these huge trees and minimize the amount of cars coming into the city and all that kind of stuff. Well, none of that actually really occurred. They did do a lot of these things. They spent billions of dollars trying to clean things up. But at the same time, Beijing is growing. There's more and more factories, and they never did get a handle on the pollution. It's been increasing ever since. News stories all along the way show that they have not been increasing. In fact, the air pollution problems were worsening. And during this time, this virus is being weaponized even more than it was. There's a lot of speculation as to what they've been doing. If you think that they did a good job in creating a lethal virus through bioengineering in 1918, you can imagine what they're doing now. And
yeah.
what we're talking about then is this gentleman by the name of Dr. A. True Ott. He's a naturopath from Ogden, Utah, who is no stranger to the world of conspiracy, and he's a very decent fellow and a very compassionate guy, and he came to Ingrid and I here on about, I think it was the 12th or so of July, and he was very insistent upon coming to see us. He just happened to be in our little neighborhood here in North Idaho, and so he came up and he played out this scenario whereby the global influenza pandemic is going to be delivered at the 2008 Summer Games in Beijing this year, that the air, and we use the term air when it's not really air there, it's this plasma matrix of particulate matter, heavy metals, I mean, God knows what is in that air. And it's going to be an effective delivery system to compromise the immuno responses of people when they're at their most vulnerable, because people when they're traveling are very vulnerable to infection because they're out of their element. They're usually not eating the things that they ordinarily eat or drinking the water they ordinarily drink, and they're just under stress. You can be having a good time, but you're still under stress, and so people are going to be rather vulnerable. Athletes, these days particularly, are finely tuned machines that are rather delicate. And
mm-hmm.
they don't, introduction of something out of the ordinary is not going to be something they can kick very well either. They're very easy to knock off their immuno, strength. They can be physically strong and immunologically weak. And,
mm-hmm.
so all of these things have lined up, and then you check that with some comments made in 2006 by the corollary, the Chinese corollary to Donald Rumsfeld, a guy named Qi Huoshan, who was just, as most military leaders are, very ethnocentric, very forthright in their military objectives as a nation, and he pretty much said that we have poisoned our country, we've expanded to our limits, and we need to branch out. And North America and Australia are the places that we're going to be able to do that, and that we are not going to be fighting a war there. We're not going to drop bombs on those countries. We are going to be waging war against them, and they're not even going to know that it's being waged. And when the time is right, we are going to settle that land, colonize that land for China. And we see all of these things playing out. That's, in a nutshell, what True Ott laid out, and thousands of details that he brought from the four corners of the universe come into focus. And when you sit and take it all in its totality, you just go, oh, my God, he is right.
Mm-hmm. Now, there were a couple of things. I watched the complete video of his presentation of the history of
right.
of this pandemic and the bird flu and the Spanish flu. And what was particularly interesting is this was planned a long time ago. They actually had a body totally preserved from 1918, one of the victims, and there may be more. This is the one he's talking about, them having unearthed. And,
yeah, the guy that died in Alaska, the U.S. serviceman that died in Alaska.
Yes, and he was literally dug out of the ice, and they took the samples they needed, and then just went to, you know, got busy creating this thing.
Sure.
This is not something that was just made in a lab or stored in a vial. They actually had a specimen of a victim buried in the ice in Alaska, and they knew where this was, you see, so this was a plan. Now, I find it ironic, and I wanted to ask you if you don't think it's ironic that the the land of medicine that goes back thousands of years, the likely one of the oldest, if not the oldest, society on the planet, the Chinese, who have acupuncture, homeopathic remedies of every type, of all kinds of fruits and vegetables and herbs that are known to prolong the life of an individual and to deal with issues of illness in a generally reputable way. Don't you find it interesting that they can't seem to handle this pandemic?
Chinese medicine in a naturopathic or a holistic sense, there's several different models that have served the Chinese people very well for eons. And it's not dissimilar from naturopathic principles that have been developed in the West. We've been taken away by the allopathic model, which is find a bug and create a bomb to kill it, which and that, of course, the battlefield then becomes your body. You're having a war waged upon you between the natural world and the physicians that are treating you. And it's the irony here is, and I agree. I mean, there is no mystery here, and in fact, this is the most severe rabbit trail that one can go down is to start trying to understand viruses and how they affect people and how to neutralize them. When in fact, what we're dealing with is balance. We're always dealing with balance. A pathogen only can replicate in a suitable environment. And if that environment is your body, what would that environment be? Well, if it's a bacterial thing, which viruses, bacteria, we can spend days going into the controversy about whether those things actually exist as they've been described to us or not. But the basics are bacteria turn dead stuff into soil. So, and bacteria are the garbage men of the universe. They do what they're supposed to do. It's unfortunate if dead stuff is in your body, but, you know, if it's there and bacteria find it, then they're going to turn it into soil. And so the idea then is when you do get sick and you start barfing or you have diarrhea or you're coughing up a lot of phlegm or you've got a lot of snot, is to not suppress those things, but understand that it's your body with bacteriological help trying to remove stuff that it doesn't want. And this vaccine is the problem. It's not the bug that they've created. Exactly. We've seen that with SARS. We've seen that with all these diseases, epidemiologically speaking, are self-limiting because they just run their course. They run out of material or they change form and they're not what they were at one time. So the epidemiological gurus who have been trying to get us sick globally with some bug or another have failed over and over again because they've not been able to deliver enough of this pathogen into the human population to have it be self perpetuating in perpetuity. They just die out. And so here we are. I know how to deal with illness, and I'm not exactly a whiz. I'm not a doctor of any kind. I'm married to an herbalist, and she's a marvelous person who understands the simple way in which the body works. But we are whipped into this frenzy about fear of bugs and viruses, and the only antidotes are vaccines, and the whole model is backwards, it's retarded, and the truth is that the world is being delivered all of these illnesses. It's not just going to be this pandemic, but cancer and Alzheimer's disease and autism in children and MS and you name the go down the full gamut of pathological, of chronic illnesses in the world today, and all of them are caused by the world we live in. They're not bugs out there attacking people.
Yes, I agree. I'm sort of making that statement and asking that question, rhetorically speaking, that those of us that know the history of Chinese medicine, certainly the Chinese could deal with this issue if this was actually a threat that they cared to deal with. That's
same thing in this country.
Yeah.
I can't say these people called physicians or medical doctors, I refer to them as lab-coated psychopaths or needle-bearing psychopaths, they may not know. These, I've got to say, in all due respect, the physicians in this country are not unlike auto mechanics in the way they treat the human body as the way auto mechanics treat a car. A car has interchangeable parts. Something goes wrong, you fix it, you go ahead and change the oil, you change the various fluids, and you keep the tank full of gas, you clean the filter every now and then so it runs smoothly. And physicians today are the same way. They completely don't factor in that there's a heart and a soul in there. They don't really factor in lifestyle choices. They just figure, oh my God, there's a diseased organ, cut it out, and if there's one available, we'll get a new one from a donor, we'll put a plastic one in, and up and away you go. And
yes.
It's wrong, and it's killing us. And for the American people to not catch on that these people spend 8 years in school to learn how to kill us expensively is really kind of bothering me. I just can't believe that people can't figure out that we've taken the wrong route medically, and it's leading to our destruction.
Well, yeah, you're right, and I agree. Now, what I'm reminded of, Don, is the role that the Rockefeller family historically has played in the research
that
goes behind creating these mega viruses and bacteria that have attacked humanity for the past 100 or 120 years. And their name is on what's going on today, too. And you know that from speaking with me off the air, and my research is leading to that. We have people in front of us right now that are associated with all these events. And it keeps coming back to Rockefellers. They're not the only ones. We want to stress that there are 12 other Illuminati, as they like to call themselves, families that are all doing this as an orchestrated dance, if you want to call it that. I find it interesting that Henry Kissinger, who is about as athletic as Mother Teresa, is over there at the Olympics. And obviously there's a big powwow going on about their global agenda. That's clear that they're all operating in sync. We get the impression that the Chinese are coming after us. This is planned. We knew this years ago that the Chinese were next in line. After they resolved the Cold War, they were going to have a new villain. For a while, it's been Osama bin Laden, and then they made it Saddam Hussein. And all the while, Israel is behind all of this. Israel has always been involved in this. Or, to be more specific, we'd have to go before 1948, the Zionists were behind it. And again, you have the Rockefellers. Japan, the same countries come up in involving the research that's going into this. There are literally tens and tens of thousands of people working on these projects. This is not one little lab someplace. They have, and I can name the companies or the labs, the organizations that are behind it. I'll save that for the article because it just buttons up the case all the ever more tightly by bringing this out. But I don't know if you want to comment on that particular aspect of who's pulling the strings behind this, making this happen, because, you know, this is just pure insanity.
Well, I'll tell you that right now, if you go to the $1DVDproject.com, the video or the DVD that you just mentioned, it's just a PowerPoint presentation by Truot that was done in July about this, is available. The gentleman's there, his name is Ron Neal. He's just a really great guy, and so you can go to $1DVDproject.com. You can also give him a call at 817-219-2798. That's 817-219-2798. And he now has, in fact, he just noticed us this morning, that he's put onto one DVD both the influenza presentation that Don was just talking about, as and also a thing that he called the trial of the century, in which he was making a case to an imaginary grand jury about the Rockefeller family and as being the cause of cancer. And it is really compelling. It's groundbreaking, foundational material that we should all have in mind, because the Rockefeller family is cancer. It just
yes.
is. And it's also behind the genetically modified revolution. It's behind just about every sinister depopulation agenda, mean-spirited corporate exploitation agenda in the world today. And you're right, there's a lot of families involved, there's a lot of minions involved, but the name that just keeps coming up is Rockefeller. And indeed, the first Rockefeller involved, and I can't remember his name, and he even had a different original name, was the first snake oil salesman.
Mm-hmm.
And Truoff's research into that area, while news to me in some areas, it checks out, and it's really fascinating, and it's also vital that we all understand it and get it out there. So it's the $1DVDproject.com, like I said, and each DVD is a buck. It's a guy named Ron Neal in Texas, and he is just a gem of a guy who's got several titles on important subjects, and he does a very nice professional job of duping things and very expeditious in getting them out there. It's his ministry to try to alert people to what's happening. And we priority mailed to him these DVDs. He checked them out and he viewed them the way we did. We went, oh my God, we got to tell people. And mm-hmm. so he's been a real trooper and he's making them available. So, I really encourage people to go get it, dupe them themselves, get it out there to as many people as possible. I don't know how long it's going to take for all of this to play out, whether it's going to happen tomorrow and it's going to be all over the world in, 2 days, or if it's something that is, and that's not likely, by the way, but or if it's something that it's going to begin with a bit of a whimper, and as the winter progresses, it's going to gain steam. I think the latter is more likely. My guess, if I were to hazard one, is that there's going to be, during the games, a couple of cases of bird flu, and then they're going to start scaring the crud out of people about it, and then the various countries are going to demand that the people visiting in Beijing receive this experimental vaccine that's not available to the public, like we described earlier, in advance of being allowed to come home. That is, I suspect, the delivery mechanism. I don't know yet. We'll just have to see. And that is a hazarded guess for sure.
Yeah, we speculated on that premise when you were on the show the last time. Now, I find it interesting that you mentioned that the trial of the century, which I have not seen yet. I have it, in my possession.
Oh, yeah, you'll find it very fascinating, Don.
Yeah, it mentions the Rockefellers. And there's another aspect of the Rockefellers that is very apropos, if you want to use that term, or if you want me to use that term.
Don't use it.
And that's the eugenics program. And this, when eugenics began, it was something rather benign. The intent was to produce a human being, to induce the qualities in a human being that would promote long life and a healthy life and a more productive individual. Okay, if that makes us more productive slaves or what, I don't know. But the Nazis perverted it prior to and during World War II. But prior to World War II, they became very interested in this. This was the crux of the work that Joseph Mengele did. And he brought that to the United States. And that is still alive here. And it's, regardless of what anyone thinks, if they want to say I'm insane for even insinuating that Mengele is still alive, he is alive. And I can tell you where he is. Now, what's interesting about this, too, is that the UN is involved. And it's worth mentioning. The UN has always been involved in this, despite the image that they project for the public consumption on a daily basis, that their concern is eradicating hunger and disease. Well, you know, they use a term, they couch a term in a statement that their goal is to eliminate half of the starvation in 157 million people in Africa. Well, the way you do that is you kill half the people.
That would be the most expedient route, for sure.
Yeah, that's, now I'm not suggesting that we do that. That's what they're doing. That's what they have been doing. And that's why you have these spats going on in countries like Sudan and Rwanda and really throughout Africa, all over the place. We're not hearing half of what's going on in Kenya. They're making Kenya sound like a Disney movie because we have this myth that Barack Obama comes from stock there. Well, people, you're going to learn where Obama is from, and you're going to learn the role Kenya is playing in this whole thing. There is a genocide of political opponents going on there in Kenya right now. And his family, Obama's supporters and his bankrollers are the ones that are funding that. And the individual that's trying to overthrow the Kenyan government, it was trained in East Germany. So this is a reality of what's going on there. And they're using all these other methods, too. This isn't just the slaughter of men, women, and children. Mostly women and children. They're doing this through the food, and there is a lot of research being done to corrupt the food supplies. It's not an accident that you have E. coli on spinach, and now you have it on meat. And I'm not even promoting the eating of meat. I'm a vegetarian myself. The point I'm making here is that this is constantly being done, and there are labs all over the country, all over the world, really, that are involved in this. The drug money that they make from the sale and the smuggling of illegal drugs, mostly heroin or opium, has historically been the cash cow for all of these people, for the tyranny that they've spread throughout the planet for eons. And it's no different today. If it works, why change it? And that's what they've been doing. So these wars that they create are a pretext to put them in a position to be able to wheel and deal in the drugs. And there's a big, big movement going on in Southeast Asia to consolidate all of this business. It's no surprise that China would be the seat of a pandemic, because the intent is to have China become the new world leader, the new boss on the block, so to speak. So,
well, there's a line from a Who turn, a tune from the Who, "Won't Get Fooled Again." Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. And even though this is China and they're Chinese, they're not Western European in appearance, the means of production, the financial system that they're utilizing, who owns it? Same folks.
Same folks. Yeah, and you know, if we look at, I have a listener that just sent me a reminder. There's something I actually wanted to mention briefly. You look at all the people being thrown into prisons and all the prisons that are being built, and the cost of maintaining a prisoner. No one ever questions that. Roughly, it's $40,000 a year anywhere in the country to incarcerate a prisoner for 1 year. Who is making that money? I found it very interesting. I got some insider information that the company called Keefe is the concessionaire, much like sports services for professional sports. And that's the Jacobs family from Buffalo, New York. And, of course, it's alluded to with likely veracity that George H.W. Bush is part of this ring of the concessions of all the professional sporting venues in this country, as well as many around the world.
Oh, they have $6 hot dog people.
Oh, well, $6, $7.50. I mean, beers start at $7.50.
$10 beer people.
You know, it's insane what they charge. And there's no telling what they're putting in the food, but Keefe or Keefe, some people pronounce it Keefe, is owned by Bob Barker, Mr. The Price is Right, and Barbara Bush. I found that very interesting that they have
really?
The concessions for all the prisons. Oh, yes. Google that name, K-E-E-F-E. It'll blow your mind. Okay, now this is a secret, but I heard this from someone that knows this directly, and I have no reason to mistrust it. It fits the mold, absolutely. And then you have these security firms like Wackenhut that are employed in the underground bases. They're employed in the prisons, and they're monitoring our nuclear reactor sites at great risk to our nation's security. Wackenhut has Israeli roots. It's quite clear what's going on here. So it's worth mentioning this in light of pandemics and all these other things. We see who the enemy is. And it's been stated as far back as our founding fathers who the enemy is. And it hasn't changed. It's gotten worse. They're controlling the media, and they're controlling our Congress. Our Congress is literally, we're not going to resolve these issues through Congress whatsoever. They're corrupted to the core.
Well, that really speaks to one of the first things that I stated in the show, and that is that these people have been coming through time, pulling this stuff on people, and the agenda has always been the same. And the real problem here is that people are marks. The great unwashed, the common man, keeps falling for this stuff over and over again. It's like a bully on the playground. They're going to keep bopping you in the nose until your nose isn't such an easy target for them. I'm not saying hitting back, but we're marks here, and we keep falling for the same tricks. And until people stand up and realize what's happening to them, and they begin to question authority. I think that everybody should always question authority. And if it's legitimate and if it's wielded for the right reasons, then follow it, accept it, be party to it. But if it's lawless, if it's insane, if it violates all of the laws of natural science and the spiritual orders of the universe and universal principles, then defy it with everything that you have. And the Wizard of Oz, gosh, you know, all these cliches come to mind. And what you find are the little men behind the curtain over and over again. And there are so many of us and so few of them. It just shocks me that we fall for this stuff over and over. And indeed, so many of our brothers and sisters who are in the same position we are so willing to hold the nozzle, plunge the needle, lock the doors, hold the keys to our fellow man. It's an aspect of the human condition that we really need to be reversing, and it's on that level that we really proceed at the Idaho Observer to strengthen people and hopefully give them enough pride in their human dignity to stand up and be counted instead of falling mm-hmm. down to be slaughtered.
Yes. And, you know, I'm glad you segued into that, because that was where I was going to go here before we conclude the show. I want to encourage the listeners, and I hear this from readers. I read The Observer, and occasionally I write for The Observer. And I think it's occasionally, because when I do, it's like I'm writing a novel. But
yeah, you're an epic sort of guy, Don.
Yeah. Well, these are complex issues, too.
I mean, they are.
You can't deal with them superficially if you're going to get to the point. But what I hear, I get compliments on my research, and I'm grateful for those. But what I'm doing is bringing out the message. I'm sounding the alarm, so to speak, and saying, hey, look at this. This is what's going on. This is, as best as we can determine, this is the reality. And you do that in a lot of areas. And when I speak to someone, when I meet someone for the first time and they ask me what it's like writing for the paper, what you and Ingrid are like as people, are you easy to work with? And I tell them, no, they're not. No, I'm just kidding. I let them know, first of all, that we have a parallel mission, that we're delivering a message. you are a facilitator for those that for those messengers, and you're a messenger yourself. So is Ingrid.
Sure.
You're as passionate about what we do as journalists because you yourselves are journalists, and you're more than fair. And your biggest concern is that you're publishing the truth. That's your I know this for anyone that doesn't subscribe to the Observer, they should, because it's unlike any other newspaper. And even, I would say, even any of the other Patriot papers out there.
Well, I think we're all unique. We have our editorial missions, and we develop characters of our own, and we're here to serve our readership, and they're growing and learning with us, and I must say that I'm very honored to serve the slim demographic of marvelous, ordinary folks that this country has.
Yeah. And you, it's a monthly paper for those listeners that haven't read it. It's $2, right? Per issue? $2 an issue?
Yeah, it's $2. It's $25 a year. And, if you send us $3, we'll send some of our other counter propaganda along as well. So it works out to be a good deal for you. We'll just stuff an envelope.
Yeah. So I recommend anyone to call 1-800-255-2307.
It's actually 1-208. We're not cool enough.
What did I say?
You said 1-800.
That's 1-208.
You had
almost
all the numbers correct. That's excellent, though. No, it's 208. The entire state of Idaho is still 208. 255-2307. We'd be happy to hear from you, and like to get you going in this information ministry that we have.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize for that mistake. That was just a space-out moment there.
That's okay. I wonder what happens if you call 1-800-255-2307.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
kind of
you might get the
really
NSA or something.
To do that.
Yeah, Secretary Chertoff.
Yeah, that's right. This is the Rockefeller hotline.
Well, I want to thank you for being on the show, and also people can go to your website as well as my website to read my research or any of the other things that you've posted. You virtually put the whole paper up there on your site every month.
Well, we generally put up there what is specific to the Idaho Observer and or generated by the Idaho Observer. Every now and then we'll put somebody else's stuff on there that we publish in the paper, but you miss the artistic content because it's just this two-dimensional thing that appears on a computer screen. But we do have an awful lot of the information posted there, and we update that every single month, usually about a week or 10 days after we put out the print publication.
Mm-hmm. The general comment I get from new readers and new listeners to the show that find out about the paper is that they're just in awe with the amount of truth that's coming out, and they're grateful. They're very thankful for what you and Ingrid are doing. So I want to also thank you for coming on Evident Footprints, too, because you have a very smooth way of delivering a very important message. And
well, thanks. I'm pretty common and pretty ordinary myself, and we're all growing and learning. None of us have experienced this stuff before, so nobody here is an expert. If you're an expert today, you are in training tomorrow because things are changing that fast. And if you're humble and you view the world fearlessly and with open eyes, it's quite a fascinating trip, and I really encourage people to grow and strengthen with what we learn instead of shrinking away in fear, because that's not what we're attempting to accomplish here.
Yeah. Well, Don, I want to thank you for being on the show. Before you hang up, Cy would like to wish Ingrid a happy birthday, and doing that, he would like to tell her a little, and the listening audience, a little bit about himself and about this network. So don't go away yet, okay, before we say goodnight.
Okay, you're on.
I used to be a rapper, then I was a talk show host, but I contracted laryngitis. So now I'm just a voice in the wind. You're not only listening to me, you're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBSradio.com.
Did you get that message?
That was excellent.
Oh, he's
a man of many voices. He's He's kind of like Rich Little, isn't he?
Yeah, he's on a roll tonight.
Right.
We didn't run your commercial, but we often do during the show, and I'll make sure that I do that just to remind folks. Now you have another issue coming out in another week or so.
That's correct.
So it's not too late for folks to sign up at 208-255-2307 for the Idaho Observer. And they'll get either you or Ingrid on the line, too. I mean, this is not like a boiler room operation. There are real people.
No, it's not. It's this is guerrilla journalism. This is in the trenches journalism.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show. I wish Ingrid a happy birthday from everybody at BBS Radio, if you would do that.
I would be happy to do that.
And look forward to having you guys on again. Keep us posted if anything really important comes up that you feel you want to get out. We can always squeeze you into a slot on the show any night of the week.
Well, no, I thank you very much. The things that are happening right now are on a scale of importance, a little bit edging towards 10 on a 10-point scale. So I will certainly do that. My ears are to the ground, and I've got people reporting back to me from all over the place. So the everything is developing, and I don't want to be right, but it looks like I'm going to be. And the best thing is for people to be aware. And I think it's also key that we discuss this stuff with any of the doctors and nurses and firemen and other EMTs in our area so that they understand what's going on. So when the time comes for them to be triggered to react, they refuse to administrate this betrayal, one of the hugest betrayals of all time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and we always have prayer, of course, too.
Absolutely.
Okay, Don, thank you so much. I'm going to say goodnight to the listening audience. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and our guest this evening, Don Harkins, is the publisher, editor of the Idaho Observer. Please contact them. Sign up for the paper. The information may save your life, and it may save Don and Ingrid's as well. In the meantime, special thanks to Don Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and for Seth Hendrick on the sound for doing such a great job tonight. I understand we may have been bumped off the air, but we got the whole show recorded, and we are back on the air. So I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. Join us tomorrow for another great show, and have a good night.